RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
My name is Al Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this 8th day of December 2018. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species. While accepting and understanding the current corporate commercial legal structure both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of all resources on our planet, including human. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found either on my primary website, anticorruptionsociety.com, or my secondary site, ParentsAgainstMandatoryVaccines.net. There is also an IDH, that's In Defense of Humanities, program links page on the AnticorruptionSociety.com website where you can locate links to many of the topics we discuss on this show. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab. This guide contains valuable tools for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government, as does the Notice of Condition Precedent information also on my website. If you haven't yet processed your own notice, please check it out. Well, tonight I'd like to present an interview to the listeners that was done in January 2008. And the host's name is Peter Helland. He has a radio blog called Israel, and it is located in South Bend, Indiana. And he had as his guest E. Michael Jones, Dr. E. Michael Jones, who is an author. He's been writing books, historical books, about the history of the Catholic Church, about the changes in our country, the cultural changes that have been socially engineered over the last, it's probably been several hundred years. And he's amazing. I've listened to so many YouTube interviews that Dr. E. Michael Jones has given, and I'm always impressed with his intelligence and his impeccable research. I did have him on the show once as a guest, where he introduced to me a term called logos, which he will be talking about tonight in the interview that I'm going to present clips from, which is an important concept. He is currently working on a book describing logos, and I think we all probably should, you know, look forward to seeing that work when it's done. Logos is an incredibly important concept, and I think you'll understand why when you listen to this interview. What I've done is I've broken the interview up into 6 audio clips, kind of different topics are featured in each one. And in this interview, Dr. Jones is asked by Peter Helen to comment on a book that was published, and apparently it was released in 2011. The author was an Israeli, and the name of the book is Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. I had not heard about that book until I listened to this interview. It's absolutely fascinating. So let's get started and listen to the first clip whereby they talk about who wrote the book and what the book is about, and Dr. Jones starts giving his critique to the information that this author presented to the public. Okay, can we play the first clip, clip one?
Welcome to the show, Israel, with Dr. E. Michael Jones and Peter Helen. And Mike has written actually a couple articles, and we're going to look at the one that you wrote just a couple weeks ago. There's this fella, professor, a doctor in Jerusalem, who wrote a book. I looked it up. It was 2011, but it seems like it's really picking up steam lately. And it deals, the fellow's name is a strange, kind of interesting name, Yuval Noah Harari. The book is called Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. You saw the Achilles heel of this book. I looked at all the reviews. They had like 2,500 reviews. And vast majority were all positive. The few, the 4% that were negative, were lining up with what you were saying. So people aren't catching the weakness of his argument.
No, he has subsequently written another book. It's called Homo Deus. Now, it's touching to see the guy use the word God, but he's saying at the end of this book, he starts talking about how we're all going to become gods, and that's evidently what the new book is about. You probably heard this story before. It's like the movie where you came in, you know, this is where I came in this movie. Professor Harari is obsessed with Genesis. Just can't get Genesis out of his mind. Can't accept it, but can't get it out of his mind either. And so he decides to take one of the roles, and the role he's taking is the role of the serpent in Genesis, who you may remember said to Eve, if you do this, you'll be like a god. So it's nice to know he believes in God, except that he doesn't believe in God. But he's now saying human beings can become gods because he can't get Genesis out of his mind. Unfortunately, we've got this huge intellectual superstructure that's erected on nothing. This is like, this book is a little bit like the cartoon of the Roadrunner, you know. The Roadrunner could, you know, the coyote would chase the Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner would run off the cliff, and he'd keep running.
Never.
Yeah. And that trouble is, then the coyote would run off the cliff, and then he'd keep running. The only problem was when you look down.
There's nothing there.
You look down, and suddenly you realize, wait a minute, there's nothing there, and the whole thing collapses. Okay? This also has a biblical reference, too. If you remember the parable of Christ calming the storm. The apostles are in a boat, the storm comes up, and they're thinking, we're all going to die. And they go to Christ, or it's another passage where he approaches them on the storm, during the storm, and he calls to Peter to come out. Well, Peter starts walking on the water. Well, you can't do that. And he realizes he can't do it halfway there, and he looks down. And as soon as he looks down, he starts to sink. So the moral there is keep your eyes focused on Christ.
Yeah, I mean Christianity, you almost summarized it right in there.
Right. So that moral, that's a clear message there. If you focus on Jesus Christ, you can do things that you normally can't do, like walking on water. Well, this guy, in spite of talking about homo deus, doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. He's a Jew. He's an atheist. He's a professor. All those things militate against Jesus. He's homosexual as well. So he's at war not only with Jesus Christ because he's a Jew. He's at war with nature because he's a homosexual. So, okay, that's a bad situation to be in. But what does he do? He looks down. And at this point, he starts to sink because there's nothing supporting this guy. Nothing supporting him. I'm saying this is a moment in world history where you have people all around the world who are starting to look down. Like, what's supporting me? That we have all of these narratives in the world are now starting to crumble. I don't care which narrative you're talking about. The classic example would be the Indian narrative, you know? We've talked about this before. The earth is a semicircle. It's sitting on four elephants. The four elephants are standing on a turtle. Well, what's the turtle standing on? You look down and there's nothing there. So let's say the answer, if you look it up on the internet, is it's turtles all the way down. Well, we know that can't be because we've already talked about it. You can't have an infinite regress. You can't have an infinite number of boxcars pulling a caboose because boxcars can't move. So there's got to be a locomotive at the end of the train, even no matter how long the train is. So here we have a man who is now steps forward, and he's going to buttress the conventional narrative, the philosophical foundation. Now you think, well, he's a Jew. Well, what's the conventional narrative if you're a Jew? Well, they don't have one. They were God's chosen people. Their narrative was known as the Bible, the Old Testament, whatever you want to call it. Genesis was their narrative, but he's rejected Genesis. So what's the narrative? Well, it's Darwin. Once again, it's Darwin because that's the default setting for everyone in the world who believes in reality or science.
He went to Oxford, didn't study at Oxford?
He studied at Oxford. Okay, so this is the center, this is the country that Darwin came from. This is basically the main ideology of science resides now in places like Cambridge and Oxford, Harvard and Yale. And they teach this ideology of science, which is basically the foundation of everything. And so he purports to write a book about everything. And then he gets going to talk about the beginning of everything. And guess what? He gets into trouble immediately.
But he had a fairly good explanation. I mean, he said atoms happened, right?
Here we are, back in Dawkins' land, back with Dennett and the new atheist.
I mean, it makes for a good bumper sticker. Right?
Yeah, shit happened. This is the explanation of everything. In other words, they can't explain anything. Or better still, they can't explain something. Because there's a difference between nothing and something. And if there were ever nothing, there could never be something. So the problem here is that they get into the same problem that all the Darwinists get into. They can't explain how anything can begin, or they can't really explain how anything can change. Even though they say that change is everything. You know, they talk about evolution, that's nothing but change. But they can't explain change.
But I remember, you mentioned this before. I wrote a little essay in high school, and I said, but if we can just find just that little piece of matter, and then we got something to work with. You know, it's just a small little problem, you know. If we can just explain how did that little piece get there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why you make such a big
Why does it have to be little? Anything.
Right, just anything. And then from there,
anything.
We can explain.
Well, they're saying it was little. It was really small. I mean, I don't know how small, but it was really dense, and it blew up. And that's called the Big Bang. But where did that, whatever it is, came from? Something had to begin somewhere.
Don't worry about that.
Well, that's pretty much the argument. So why do you claim that you're explaining everything when you can't explain anything, or you can't explain something? This is the Achilles heel of the Anglo-American ideology, and it's causing reverberations around the world. Because all around the world, people are looking down, and they're like Wile E. Coyote.
They're panicking.
There's nothing there. Wait a minute. I'm running on nothing. And they start to fall.
But it's a panic that they don't have a language for. It's a panic that they don't have a dialogue for, because they're not. How do you communicate that panic when you're raised in a Darwinian?
Well, the Jewish answer is chutzpah. Chutzpah.
Right.
Which means you're going to be a bold, brazen article, as the nuns used to say, and you're going to tough it out by just saying it in a really aggressive way, even though you can't back it up intellectually.
But usually the sheep will respond to that authoritative voice.
What are the odds? Basically, so people go along with it. It's the conventional narrative. Of course people are going to say, yeah, you're right, because he's just saying the same thing over and over again that they've been learning over and over again without any type of real explanation. Except this is like the combination of Anglo philosophy, the English ideology, with a Jewish spin to it now. So it's Anglo ideology, which kind of reserved, you know what I mean, the way the English gentleman would be. But that's all thrown out the window because you have a Jew promoting it, and the Jewish virtue is chutzpah. And this is chutzpah. So he's going to brazen it out here by telling Wiley that there's still something there, even though Wiley looks down and there's nothing there.
But it's also, it gets its origin, like you said, from the magic of John Dee, who then it was expanded by, you know,
yes.
Sir Isaac Newton.
Right.
And it's kind of like this mysterious center with the English, with the British Empire, you know, how they, and you're trying to go to the root. Where did this come from? You know, what was the secret of their empire, in a way?
Yeah, it was magic. It was real magic at the beginning with John Dee. Which goes back to Neoplatonism, which he got via Hermes Trismegistus came to Italy. It was translated, Ficino translated these Hermetic corpus, and then it got injected into the European bloodstream, and it ended up showing up in England with John Dee, who became famous because of Shakespeare. Shakespeare plays, he's Prospero. But it blew up. We talked about this before. Newton resurrected magic as science. I nothing wrong with the inverse square law, but he plugged it into a pagan cosmology, which he got from Empedocles and the alchemical tradition, which basically says the whole world is nothing but love and strife, a competition between love and strife, which he called gravity and inertia. Okay? So this is the background of this. The Jews reached prominence in England when they basically, when the English aristocracy became slaves to debt over the course of the 19th century, after Rothschilds took up, Nathan Rothschild bet the fortune of the Prince of Hesse-Cassel on Napoleon losing. He had information ahead of time. He shorted the pound, the consul, I mean, and he made a killing. And he lent that killing out, and the British aristocracy became indebted to the Jews, became slaves to the Jews over the course of the 19th century. So here's a Jew now coming to the rescue of the Anglo ideology, which is struggling. The empire has reached its greatest extent. Anglo-American empire rules the world now. They rule the seas, and yet it looks as if it's on the verge of collapse. This is the world that we live in now.
So he's writing this book to help hold it together.
Yeah, because basically it's also the Anglo-American Israeli Empire. You know, and Israel is, beginning with the British, the Balfour Declaration, Winston Churchill, Israel became the outpost to guarantee the flow of oil into the British Navy. And now it's still that outpost. And you know, we've reached a point now with the Trump administration where the tail is wagging the dog.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The empire, you know, and Israel is beginning with the British, the Balfour Declaration, Winston Churchill. Israel became the outpost to guarantee the flow of oil into the British Navy, and now it's still that outpost. And you know, we've reached a point now with the Trump administration where the tail is wagging the dog. It's been a long time coming, and Netanyahu said this years ago that Israel controls. We know they control our Congress. We know they control our foreign policy, and Trump has simply capitulated to this control rather than contesting it, which is the reason I voted for him.
Right. Okay. I think the Senate just passed, because somebody was calling me really concerned, that 90 to nothing about passing a law against anti-Semitism.
Yeah, well, what's anti-Semitism? Yeah, sure they're going to pass a law because the Jews yanked their chain. Remember when Netanyahu gave the speech and he got 27 standing ovations? The Jews yank their chain, they threaten them with cutting off funding, and the Congress does whatever they want. So what's anti-Semitism? Well, how are they going to define it? Well, it's anything Jews don't like. That's pretty much the state we're in, and the Congress goes along with it. So we are, in many ways, a conquered people. Certainly here in Indiana, we're a conquered province. Okay? So, but that's sort of the way Harari begins his book, but he's plagued with this problem throughout the entire book, because you can never, we're talking about history here, we're talking about a series of beginnings. Okay, so first, it's the beginning of everything. Well, you can't figure that one out, can you? No, you didn't figure that one out. You made a fool of yourself because you don't even know the first principles of metaphysics, you don't know anything about philosophy, you're just a fool making a fool of yourself. Okay? But we have to go along here. So what's the next thing? The next big thing is the beginning of the human race. Well, I don't care what it is, we're still going to have the same problem. Because you're always going from nothing to something. Okay? In the beginning, you're going from absolute or almost absolute nothing. There's no universe. And now there is a universe. How do you get from there to there? The only way you can get there, as we said before, is by positing, recognizing the existence of God. You can't have existence without a creator. That's impossible. This is not faith. This is reason. Okay? And the summary, according to Revelation, God does reveal himself. You can figure out he's there, but then at a certain point he starts telling you things about himself that you wouldn't know. And the beginning of that revelation is Genesis, and the first sentence is basically metaphysical. It's a metaphysical statement. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. You're never going to get around that. That's it. Every beginning, the beginning of the universe has to be dealt with in those terms. If you don't do it, well, then you're not going to get it right, and he doesn't get it right.
I found that really interesting. I was raised to believe in the Darwinian theory of evolution, believed in it pretty much close to my whole life, and my husband would debate with me, and I would get upset because I just couldn't come to grips with his point of view. I don't know when I changed my mind. I think it was probably some of the discussions that we had where he explained complexities as a physician and tried to get me to understand how the human ear works. And it is so incredibly amazing and so unique and so complex that he continued to remind me that could not have been by accident, that evolution could not have created something that amazing. And if you think about it, amoebas don't even have ears. They can't hear. So where did the ear come from? This explanation that E. Michael Jones gives in this interview is, in my opinion, it's the best one I think I've heard yet. If I was going to get into a debate with someone who's supporting the theory of evolution, Darwin's theory, which I might add NASA promotes, they have a picture of it. You've seen that picture everywhere, which is the advancement of man from this small creature into this monkey-like thing, into this ape-like thing, into this crude caveman-like individual, into man as we know it would be the last step. That's even in a PowerPoint presentation that NASA gave in the early 2000s in their outrageous program that they presented called The Future of War, and we do have that on our website. It's really frightening. Their idea of how to control all of mankind, and that is their plan, and they did reveal it in that PowerPoint presentation. I just thought that the way he explained the fact it doesn't matter how many blocks you have, how many cabooses, how many railroad cars you had, you can have millions and billions and trillions of years go by, but if there isn't some force of creation, nothing will move, nothing will change. And that's just so obvious to me when I listen to him explain it. I'm going to get his book, no doubt about it. I have to get his book. I think there's probably just tons of jewels in there that I've not heard. So let's hear the next one where he talks about Darwin's theory of natural selection. As soon as we go back. Okay, sounds good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
The same problem exists every time he comes to something new. He can't explain it. Now, Darwinism has an explanation for change. It is nothing but an explanation for change, and the explanation is called natural selection, which is basically you've got two competing animals, let's say, and the one has better eyesight than the other. The one that has better eyesight can get to the food faster, which means he will be able to reproduce more, and this means this population will eventually displace this population. That's success. And, well, okay, that's okay. I can understand that. But how did you get to an eye in the first place? Well, it can't explain that. And that becomes problematical because, as Christopher Hitchens said, we all evolved from a blind amoeba. Well, if the amoeba is blind,
how can it pass on a sight?
How can it pass on? How can it compete in terms of existence for something like sight? Can't do it. So natural selection can't work. Can't work on this thing. So therefore, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It can only work when something comes into existence. But how did something come into existence? How did the eye come into it? Well, this was a big problem for Darwin, too. He couldn't figure it out. I mean, eye is a very complex organ. And to say, well, what did you learn in high school? I'll tell you what I learned in high school. This was our biology course was revolutionized when I was there. I must have been 1963, something like that. And they said, well, there were these amino acids
Were you a Catholic school?
Yeah, this was a Catholic school. This was the elite Catholic school in Philadelphia. And these amino acids are all sloshing around in this ocean. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I got this. And then what happened? Well, it turns out lightning hit the amino acids, and boom! Lightning hit the amino acids, and boom! There you had an amoeba. It was amazing.
What'd you tell your mom when you came home?
I was too dumbfounded to even talk about it. Well, is this science? This is not science. This is science fiction. And I know the source. It's Frankenstein. Because Mary Shelley, at this time, she's a revolution. She's the daughter of a revolutionary, William Godwin, the promoter of the French Revolution in England. He's a complete materialist. He believes that everything is atoms bumping into each other. And she's hearing all these stories about frog legs and Galvani putting electroshock to frog's legs and Ben Franklin and all electricity. Electricity may be the elan vital. So we can just sew these body parts together and you put a bolt in the guy's neck and you electrify it and you got a human being. Well, that's where it came from. That's fiction, isn't it? Or am I mistaken? So I'm an expert on this because I got a PhD in fiction. So I'm an expert on this. Because it's fiction. It's science fiction. Nobody believes that. Biologists don't believe that. That's for textbooks, for people who go to public school or Catholic school or something like that. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what we're talking about here. We have to save that narrative, and so now you're always in the same dilemma. How do you get from the fact that you're a blind amoeba to the fact that you're competing with other animals because you can see better? Can't get there. It's impossible. This is one of the issues in the history of philosophy. Parmenides, a pre-Socratic philosopher, was saying, no, you can't. He recognized that it was impossible, and he said, well, there's no possibility of change. Everything exists, nothing can change. Well, that doesn't seem right either. So it took him a long time to work out. You know, Heraclitus said the opposite, and finally Aristotle comes up with an explanation. But that's farther down the road. He hasn't even come to that conclusion. He is there. Every time he has something, he can't explain it. Every time there's a change, he cannot explain it. And the main change in this book is the emergence of the human race.
Isn't it part of the problem with the knowledge we have on the DNA? It's like with the computers. You have to have a programming system. You can't. The DNA
right.
is what it is. We know that. You have to have information.
Right.
So we have knowledge of this that reveals this is flawed.
Right. So he's in bind because science is working in the other direction. So what's the conventional narrative here in terms of human beings? Well, it's cavemen. Remember cavemen? Alley-oop? You know, cavemen used to be the classic caveman was a guy, he had a club in one hand. He had a kind of animal skin clothing on, and he had a woman, he was dragging a woman by the hair. This was the caveman. We don't talk about that kind of caveman anymore. Okay?
The Flintstones,
whatever it is. This was before the Flintstones. But anyway, that was the classic caveman. Okay, well, there again, we have a metaphysical problem. Okay, so supposedly everything can evolve, so the caveman. We have 2001, A Space Odyssey, where we got these monkeys banging, and suddenly someone picks up a bone and suddenly throws, and then suddenly there are human beings there. Doesn't make any sense. It only makes sense if you're taking LSD and watching the movie in 1969. Doesn't make any sense. Because he has to admit that there is something qualitatively different in the universe now with human beings. Now, he doesn't admit it. Half the time he says, oh, it's just another ape. It's just an ape. Human beings are just apes. But then he says there was something called the cognitive revolution, which he now, when did it happen? Well, he says it must have happened 70 to 80,000 years ago. Well, why did he say that? Well, because he's studying the Genome Project, which basically now, because of DNA, we can trace every single human being back to what they're calling Y chromosomal Adam and mitochondrial Eve. In other words, one woman and one man. Again, he uses the term Adam and Eve. I told you he's obsessed with Genesis because he's a Jew and he can't get it out of his mind, but he doesn't believe it, so he has to come up with fables to... But basically, he has to admit, okay, Dawkins, everyone, all the atheists now have to admit that the human race came from two people who existed 70,000, 80,000, whatever it is, years ago.
That's a bit of a shock to them because they've always been relying on the polytheism, right? The other...
Polygenism.
Yeah,
there used to be a theory that, but nobody believes that anymore. It's like the universe is eternal. That's what Aristotle said. Nobody believes that anymore. Okay? You can make an argument, but nobody believes it, so let's not worry about the argument. So we're talking about two human beings, two people that are now recognizably human beings who never existed before. Well, how did they get to... First of all, how do we know they're human beings? How do we know it?
Language.
Language, which is, what's the Greek word for language?
Well, logos.
Logos, okay? So we're talking about the history of logos, which is the book I'm writing, which is what we're talking about, okay? Suddenly, there's never been a universe without logos in terms of an order put there by the God who created it. But suddenly, we're talking about a new moment in history where logos becomes conscious of itself and manifests itself in this world as speech. This is what distinguishes human beings from everything else in the universe. Human beings talk.
And it used to be that the center subject, the primary subject in classical education was rhetoric.
Right. And so obviously, all of what ology, logic, all this type of stuff comes back to the fundamental basic fact of what human beings are, which they're animals that talk. And no other animal talks. Now, this is the first argument. So they're going to say, what do you mean no other animal talks? All animals talk. Ducks quack. And dogs bark. And I go this through with my granddaughter. What's the duck do? And your granddaughter says, quack, 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 quack. What's the doggy do? Ruff, 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 ruff.
Well, those are the first songs you were singing in kindergarten.
Okay, so it's obvious, but that's not talking. That's not human speech. And so this reached this notion that animals were no different than animals. That's a conclusion that is programmed into Darwinism and therefore becomes part of the premise that you have to save if you're going to save Darwinism. So you have to start with this assumption that dogs talk. And let's face it, we've all seen Mickey Mouse talk, right?
Well,
he talks to Minnie. So therefore, animals do talk.
Mr. Ed.
And now there are people, two young people in the 70s, took it to its logical conclusion when they rescued this monkey, this chimpanzee called Washu, from a lab in Nevada. And they taught it to talk. Now, first of all, no monkey can talk because talking is what I'm doing right now. And you need things like vocal cords, and the monkeys don't have them. So they can't, sorry. So, okay, but other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, we'll just accept that as part of the premise because what they're saying is, well, we taught Washu how to use American Sign Language. Now, there's a problem with that, too, because, you know, is that American? Have you ever seen sign language, you know, where they're going like this?
And
like this, and they apparently people understand it, but these gestures strike me as somehow ambiguous. The monkey can obviously move his hands, but is he talking? Well, first of all, no, he's not talking, because this is what talking is. Is he using sign language? Well, they were convinced, this young lady and her husband were convinced that they just bonded with Washu. And they started basically projecting their own thoughts onto Washu. So there's one point where Washu's out there, and he goes like that, and there's a swan there. And they say, he just said the sign for water and the sign for bird. He's speaking. It's like a breakthrough. The new world has dawned, and it was like a dance craze that swept through the entire scientific community. So they all ran out and bought chimpanzees, and then they realized
they couldn't duplicate it.
Couldn't duplicate it. Sorry. So you can read, Washu is probably the only chimpanzee who ever had his obituary in the New York Times. Go to the New York Times, look it up, and you'll find out that disillusionment, just crushing disillusionment, just settled in. Went, no, he was responding to cues. That's what monkeys do. That's what every animal does. You can train animals. You can train your dog to do something. You can train your dog to do amazing things. You know, jump up and catch a frisbee, bark on cue. There's one guy who's going to jail because he taught his dog to do the Hitler salute. Okay? He's going to jail. We got a dog giving the Hitler salute. But they're not. They're responding to cues. And if you want to do it, you got to give the dog something to eat. You know, give him a treat, and then he'll do it. That's the way to do it. I did this. I made this mistake once. We have squirrels in our backyard, and the squirrels, and they're just sitting out there on the deck and eating a nut, and suddenly one day I just throw the squirrel a nut. Well, the squirrel loves it. I mean, that squirrel loved that nut and kept getting closer and closer to me.
Yeah.
You know, we bonded, you know, very quickly. And so this squirrel would come up and basically say hello, ever sort of, and you throw him a nut. Well, he got to the point where he just wanted those nuts, and so at a certain point, he started coming in the back door. He'd open the back door and come into the kitchen and basically say, I want a nut, you know. And he just he was about as big as a raccoon at this point. And that was the end of that. That was, I created a monster here. But this is the way animals can be trained. And that's, in effect, what was happening to Washu. Washu would get a little banana pellet, and suddenly he was doing, and they were projecting. So, in other words, animals cannot talk. It has now been scientifically proven. Okay, we know that now. Okay, so let's forget about that. So there, we're talking about something that is qualitatively different. It can't evolve. We cannot talk about the evolution of human language. It can't happen. It's impossible. First of all, we have to take it their explanation. Even someone as brilliant as Noam Chomsky, who doesn't believe that animals talk, believes that human beings evolved to a certain point. There was a genetic mutation that allowed them to talk. Well, I'm sorry, now, much as I respect, you know, the great Noam Chomsky, this is preposterous. It can't work that way. It's impossible. Okay? What are you talking about, first of all? You're talking about genetic mutations leading up to what? Okay, let's assume for the moment that genetic mutations can create vocal cords in a human being. Okay, so now you have the ability, unlike a monkey, you have the ability to make sounds that could be construed as speech, but where's the language? How did that evolve? How did that evolve? It can't. It can't evolve. What we're talking about here is there has to be a moment in history where some human being starts speaking a language which has never existed before since the beginning of creation. It is qualitatively different than anything that any animal has ever done before. It's not a bark or a squeak or a meow, you know, which are forms of communication, I'm sure, but it's not language. Okay? Suddenly this came into existence, not in one person, but in two people simultaneously. Because otherwise, who are you going to talk to? Why would you say something if there were no one there to hear you?
Well, there's a lot of people that talk to themselves.
We have people who talk to themselves all the time. They are known as crazy people. They can talk, okay, but that's what we're talking about. Suddenly, you had to have two people existing at exactly the same time, speaking a language that they could both understand simultaneously. How is that possible according to probability? How can evolution produce something like that? We're back at the same position we just talked about. We're talking about you're going from nothing to something here. You're going from being blind to being able to see. There's no possible transition there. Okay? It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing with the eye. It's all or nothing with human language. And this is precisely what happens. This is what Harari says. I'm not putting words in his mouth. This is what he calls the cognitive revolution, Well, okay, I understand that. And he's saying it happened between one man and one woman 70,000 years ago. Well, I agree with that. But you can't get there from where you begin to that point. It's impossible. Materialism, whatever kind of materialism you want to talk about, cannot take you to that point. Evolution cannot take you to that point. Nothing can evolve into something like that. It has to exist immediately from the beginning. It's the only way it's going to happen.
But he's not listening to you when you say that. He doesn't want to hear that.
Okay, so now we have the question. Why does he not want to hear that? Because it's obvious that that is the way it has to be. Well, why? There are two reasons. One, because he's a Jew, and he's rejected the Genesis account, which is plausible. Second reason is...
Well, he's rejected his own Jewish heritage, which is possible because a lot of Jews, the Hasidic, or, you know, they draw on.
Right. Now, I'm saying, he's that kind of Jew. Okay, I'm saying, I mean, I've written a book about this, the Jewish revolutionary spirit, when I'm saying all Jews, by the fact they are Jews, are in rebellion against Logos. And this happened when they turned on Jesus Christ, who was the Logos incarnate, and murdered him, and then said, his blood be on us and our children. They've been in a permanent state of rebellion against Logos ever since that time. And so they're in rebellion against their own scriptures as well. And the Talmud is an expression of their rebellion against the Torah. Whatever the Torah forbids, the Talmud permits.
Right, but you're just articulating what the Greek Orthodox Catholic churches...
It's just the standard, traditional teaching of the Catholic Church. Okay, no matter what people tell you today, that is the traditional teaching of the Catholic Church.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Well, I appreciated what he had to say about the Talmud permitting what the Torah prohibits. And I'm probably going to have to get his book for sure, because you hear a lot of these panel discussions with Christians and Jews, and the Jews in these discussion groups are always referring to the Torah. And yet, as he said, the Talmud is being practiced by a lot of the Jews, he uses the term the big Jews and the little Jews. The big Jews would be the Rothschilds and all of those at the top of the pyramid, and the little Jews are the ones who write checks for APEC. So I don't know at what point the rabbis left the Torah and moved into the Talmud. I probably could find out in E. Michael Jones' book. But right now, it would appear these warmongers are actually practicing the Talmud, not the Torah. There is another explanation, however, for how man came to be the way man is. And if any of you have visited the website Project Camelot and listened to any of the interviews with Carrie Cassidy, or have read Zachariah Sitchin's books, you may, like myself, be quite interested in the theory that the Anunnaki actually genetically altered our species to give us what we are today, to create the mankind that can walk and talk and write. And I can't answer that for sure, but it's an interesting theory. It certainly makes more sense than Darwin's theory. But I'm still probably closer to being a creationist than I am. Of course, the Anunnaki, you could say they were creators. They had advanced technology. They could change our DNA. They could create a new human. But that's maybe another show. Okay, we've got four more clips. They're much shorter. Those two were, you know, more than 15 minutes each. The next one, he is going to talk about the rebellion against nature. And let's hear that one. Okay, well, we'll do that when we get back. I hope people are enjoying this work of E. Michael Jones. I think he's absolutely fascinating. And, you know, he's absolutely right. They're denigrating nature everywhere. They are the most destructive. Some people are calling these Jews, the big Jews, the ones who wish to control the planet, they're calling them psychopaths because they have no compassion. They appear to have no love. They have no consideration. Might makes right. They are behaving like beasts. Okay, we'll be back and we'll go to the next clip as soon as we return. Stay tuned.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic.